Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, welcome to a new episode of Germany in Focus, a podcast made possible by members of The Local. Today we're talking about a recent spate of attacks on politicians in Germany ahead of the European elections next month. We are getting into the Eurovision Song Contest, telling you about Germany's entry, how big the competition is here, and how to watch it. We'll chat about how you can get a summer job in Germany and the industries that are hiring. And with the countdown on to the Euro 2024 football championships, we are talking about how it will affect daily life in Germany and at the borders. Finally, we'll talk about some fun events around the country that will hopefully inspire you to get out and about in Germany. I'm Rachel Loxon, and I'm in Berlin today with journalists Paul Krantz and Aaron Burnett. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I am excellent. I am great. It is one of my favorite times of year. As you have just said, it is Eurovision week.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm very excited to chat about it today. Yeah. Yes. With y'all.
Aaron really does love Eurovision. And also, I'm kind of thrown off because you guys have switched seats. So we're in a different constellation here.
Yeah. You can blame Paul for that.
Taking on Aaron's seat over here. Updates for me this week. I got a new bicycle. I'm very excited. A new used bicycle.
It hasn't been stolen yet.
Okay. I got a good U-lock at the Fahrradmarkt, so hopefully that's going to keep me locked down.
Yeah, you won't have to go to Mauerpark the next Sunday and find it spray-painted pink, and you can just buy your own bicycle back for 50 bucks. Yeah,
to be seen, yeah.
Guys, I read this week that a Berlin restaurant is selling a Spargeldöner, and that is that is an asparagus kebab. So it's at this restaurant called Kebab with Attitude in Mitte in Berlin. Would you try it?
No, I stay as far away from Spargel as possible.
Aww.
That is one integration bridge too far. I'm sorry.
So Eurovision, but not Spargel.
Well, I mean, Eurovision is greater than Spargel. Let's start the great German debate right there.
I would try it only because I like to think of myself as someone who would try anything once. I'll give it one try.
Okay.
I would split it with someone.
Okay, we'll hear back from you.
You heard it here first. Paul Krantz is going to try Eurovision because he tries everything once. There you go.
So he's going to try the Spargeldöner and Eurovision.
You'll have the Spargeldöner like during the Eurovision Song Contest.
I'm going to eat it while Germany is performing.
There you go. Yeah. You could feel really German then.
Okay, let's start off with what's been in the news. In the last week, there have been some attacks on politicians in Germany, including a serious assault on the SPD's Matthias Ecke, who suffered injuries, including a broken cheekbone. Now, it comes ahead of the European elections that take place next month. Paul, can you tell us what's been happening?
Yeah, as you mentioned, SPD's Matthias Ecke was attacked while putting up election posters in Dresden on Friday, May 3rd. According to statements made by his party members, Ecke was seriously injured and required an operation following the attack. One of his attackers was a teenager who turned himself into the police a few days later, and other suspects have since been identified. All of them were 17 and 18-year-old men. Earlier that week, a 28-year-old man who was putting up posters for the Greens in Dresden had also been punched and kicked, and days before that, two Greens deputies were abused while campaigning in Essen. Then on Wednesday, we learned that Berlin's Senator for Economic Affairs and former mayor, Franziska Giffey of the SPD, was assaulted at a library in Berlin's Rudow neighborhood on Tuesday. So police said the attacker used a bag filled with hard objects to hit Giffey and that she was treated in the hospital for a head and neck pain following the incident. As we're recording, we've just heard that police have arrested a 74-year-old man suspected of carrying out that attack. And that same night, back in Dresden, a 47-year-old woman with the Green Party was threatened and spat on while putting up posters for the EU elections. In that case, a 34-year-old German man and a 24-year-old woman were arrested. So, of course, these are just some of the attacks we've heard about in the last couple weeks, but there have been many more that have really ranged in severity. There's been politicians being attacked in their car and prevented from driving further, such as what happened to a Green Party member in Brandenburg on May 1st, to an SPD member's house being set on fire in Thuringia after he had organized a demo against right-wing extremism back in February.
It really sounds like a tense atmosphere at the moment. Is this something that's worrying politicians in Germany? How bad is the situation?
Yeah, this is definitely very worrying for politicians. Responding to the attack on Matthias Ecke, Chancellor Scholz, who's in the same party, called the attack a threat to democracy. And the European Union's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, also sounded the alarm. On X, he wrote, "We're witnessing unacceptable episodes of harassment against political representatives and growing far-right extremism that reminds us of the dark times of the past." So as to whether or not this situation is really getting worse at the moment, it's kind of hard to say, at least for now, at least based on the figures we have available. Obviously, it does seem like we're seeing an increase in attacks, especially this week and last week, which seems to be related to the approaching EU elections and tensions that political campaigns may be stirring up. But in terms of like year over year figures, the police recorded 2,790 crimes against politicians in Germany last year in 2023, and that was significantly higher than what we saw in 2022, but it was actually less than were recorded in 2021. So it's, I guess, to be seen come the end of this year if this trend is really something that's continually getting worse or maybe just fluctuating. But lastly, I do think it's worth noting here that obviously this trend is concerning for all politicians and really for all supporters of democracy more broadly. But it's really the municipal and state level leaders that are facing the greatest risk here, basically by virtue of spending more time in public places, being more face to face with their constituents, and not having access to the same level of security that federal leaders might have.
Aaron, the European elections are next month. Can you recap for us when they're happening and, yeah, if foreigners in Germany can vote?
So Europe votes over the course of about 4 days in these elections. It's one of the largest democratic contests in the world. Germany votes on Sunday, June 9th. And if you're a European Union resident of Germany who's age 16 or over, you can vote here. Now, German citizens are automatically registered to vote here, and they will receive their Wahlschein, which is your kind of voter information sheet, in the mail. And that will tell you where to vote on the day or how to vote via postal ballot if you want to.
Did you get yours?
Yeah, I did. I did already. It's true. So I have all that info right there. So if you haven't gotten yours yet, you might want to check and see if you've done your registration, you know, call the Wahlamt, for example, if it doesn't arrive in the next couple of days or week, that sort of thing. Non-German EU nationals do need to register to vote by May 19th if they've not voted in Germany before in a local election, for example, or in the last European elections. They happen every 5 years. The last ones were in 2019. You can find info on how to do that, how to register, in our show notes, and then you'll get that Wahlschein sent to you. If you have voted before, you shouldn't have to register this time again. Now, remember that in European elections, EU nationals vote where they live, not where they're from. So Spanish citizens resident here in Germany are voting here and not in Spain, to use one example. That goes the other way too. Germans who are resident in Spain are voting there and not here.
Good to know. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, but Aaron, conservatives seem to be doing quite well at the moment, right, from the Germany side?
On the German side, yes, they are. They're quite a ways ahead of basically everyone else, probably on around 30 points. That's at least double anyone else, including the Social Democrats, that are the party of Olaf Scholz, but also the Greens, as well as the far-right AfD. They're basically double ahead of everyone else in Germany, anyway. That's not necessarily the same in other countries where we do see, or likely see, a stronger far-right showing.
Good to know. Thank you both for those updates. Before we carry on with our chat today, I'd like to ask that you consider supporting our podcast by becoming a member of The Local. We are an independent media outlet, and your support is what allows us to produce the news and all of the cultural and practical explainer articles that we write about, and it allows us to do this podcast. If you'd like to join, you can find a link to a special offer for podcast listeners in the show notes, or you can access it directly at thelocal.de/podcast offer. Okay, guys, the Eurovision is back.
Indeed it is.
So that's this singing competition that features weird and wonderful artists from all around Europe and some other non-European countries randomly. It is
like Australia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Since 2015.
Yeah, we don't really understand why, but whatever. It's being held in Sweden this year in Malmo. So our colleagues in Sweden are in the local Sweden are covering it all. Luckily, we have our Eurovision expert here, Mr. Aaron Burnett. He's going to tell us what we need to know so we can cheer Germany on, possibly, if we like them.
If you like the German song this year, yes.
Aaron, can you give us the lowdown? What should we know about this year? And do the Germans like Eurovision?
The short answer is yes. Germans do like Eurovision in general. Many Germans will simply call it the ESC or the ESA, just so you know. It has a long history in Germany. Germany was one of the original seven countries that participated in the very first Eurovision back in 1956. It is also the country that has competed the most times. It has only missed out on one ESC since 1956. It has also won twice, in 1982 and most recently in 2010, when Lena, who is still a big pop star in Germany, won with her song Satellite. Great song, by the way. Also a song of hers that's in English, so there you go. Germany has also finished in the top three 11 times. Three of those times were by a singer by the name of Katja Ebstein. And she is the only Eurovision performer ever from any country to score three top three finishes, but never actually win the whole thing.
Mm.
Now, German finishes, I have to say, have been mostly disappointing since 2010.
Wow.
Since Lena there, with the exception of 2018, when it finished in fourth place. Great song by Michael Schulte that year. It remains one of the most popular TV events of the year in Germany, even though that disappointing track record has been a thing for more than a decade. It is watched by 8 million people here. That is about 10% of the population. And by the way, the only country who registers more Eurovision viewers for the average year in terms of absolute numbers, is in fact the United Kingdom. 9 million viewers most years.
Yeah, British people do love it. Who is the German entry this year and are they any good?
Well, so this year's German entry is by singer Isaac with his song Always on the Run. He won the national selection earlier this year, which is a TV contest on German public broadcasting, and the winner gets to represent Germany at Eurovision. Now, most countries have to qualify for Saturday's grand final during semifinals held during the week. Germany is one of the big five of European broadcasting with a hefty contribution to that Eurovision budget. So that means that Isaac will automatically make the grand final on Saturday. And I have to say, it's a nice little song and he's got a great voice. I would say that it is an improvement on Germany's entries over the last few years, but that is a low bar to cross. So I don't know that it's anything, personally, I don't know that it's anything really special. I don't think it's enough to beat this year's powerhouses. Those would be Switzerland, Ukraine, Ireland, Croatia, just to name a few of them. There's no clear favorite this year, so it should be pretty exciting. But this one is not it. This is not the one to beat those. It's a strong year overall. We'll see if Germany gets a respectable result, more respectable than in the last few years.
We had a quick listen to the song just before recording, and we'll include it. We'll link to it in the show notes so you can listen as well. I didn't like it. I wasn't a fan.
Yeah. And to me, it sounded, I don't know, average, for lack of a better word. Like, as an American, I just felt like it kind of sounded like American music, like something you'd hear on the radio in like a pop country radio station in Texas or something.
I love how these guys are harsher on the German entry than I am. And I'm usually quite harsh on the German entry in general. But yeah, because I think we could do better because we have done better before.
Yeah.
I guess for me, it's like when I think of Eurovision, I expect really like the ultimate glamour, like extravagant costumes.
Yes.
Really immaculate
concepts.
Yeah. That is what Eurovision is about.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
I wasn't sensing that from the German entry this
year. No, because it's not giving it.
Yeah.
You'd be right about that.
And that's why I liked the German entry last year when they were all like in complete glam rock nonsense. That was like more camp to me. That was like more Eurovision.
No. We will disagree on the quality of last year's German
song. You do not like that. Okay, so I believe there have been some controversies this year. Even though this is like a fun contest, there have been some protests against Israel being in the competition due to the war in that region, for example. Can you tell us about that, Aaron?
Yeah, so there have been some calls, not so much in Germany, but certainly in some other countries, particularly Ireland, for example, to boycott the contest due to Israel being in it. Israel actually had to change their song a bit to be able to compete. The original title was October Rain, and there was some concern that that was referring too much to the October 7th massacres that Hamas carried out against Israeli civilians, which started this whole war in the region. The song that they have now is called Hurricane. So there was a change there. There have been some calls for different artists to drop out of the competition, but none of them have said that they would, even though some of them have voiced support for the Palestinian cause in particular. There is another controversy specifically involving the German singer Isaac. He has said that he objects to Russia being banned from the competition. In 2022, Russia was barred from being able to compete because bosses at the EBU said that it would bring the contest into disrepute. So he has faced some flack for saying that publicly.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah. So basically, politics is everywhere. You can't escape it. They try to say that Eurovision isn't political.
Oh, but it certainly is. It certainly is. That's also why some people watch it, especially when it comes to the voting as well. There's a lot of jokes and drinking games that get made also out of that.
Yeah, that's why the UK does so badly in the books. How can people watch it in Germany then?
Well, you could always use your VPN to watch your home country's broadcast if you like. I mean, Graham Norton's bitchy but iconic Eurovision commentary comes to mind for the BBC, just a classic. But in Germany, ARD Public Broadcasting screens it, or you can watch it online as well at Eurovision.de. I personally recommend watch parties at home with friends, like I often host every year on the Saturday of the grand final, or indeed there are many such parties in bars, and I usually enjoy the Tuesday and Thursday semifinals at one of those. Right now, I can think of very few gay bars in this country that don't have a huge Eurovision watch party planned where seating and space will be at a premium. So when in doubt, just look there.
We're recording this on the Wednesday. Were you at a party last night, Aaron?
I sure was.
And how are you feeling?
I will be at another one tomorrow on the Thursday.
You surviving?
Yeah, I'm surviving. I'm doing all right.
Okay. You make it to Saturday?
Yeah, I think so. This is the week every year. It's you have to have stamina for Eurovision week, not for the faint of heart.
You going to watch it, Paul?
Well, as I just said earlier, I'll try everything once. So I guess I'm on the hook to watch it this year.
There you go.
In years past, I've watched highlights. I've watched like the music videos of some of the top performers, but I've never seen the whole contest live.
Yeah. Well, it's long. Hours long.
That's the best part.
I'll commit to the highlights for sure.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The summer is a great time to be in Germany, thanks to the usually very pleasant weather and the general fun atmosphere. So how easy is it to come from abroad to get a summer job, or even just to do some part-time work on the side if you already live here, to enjoy a new side of the country? So, Paul, you've been looking into this recently. Can you tell us what type of seasonal work is allowed in Germany?
Yeah, so there are so-called seasonal jobs in Germany, and there is even a specific work permit that allows non-EU nationals to do seasonal work here if they apply for it and are granted it. But this is usually for agricultural labor. So the work permit was designed with that in mind. And to qualify for the permit, you need a job that requires at least 90 working days within a 180-day period. And it should employ you for at least 30 hours per week. But I think for most listeners, maybe the kinds of jobs you might be thinking of in terms of summer jobs are basically full part-time or freelance jobs with a kind of seasonal bent. So these jobs could be available to anyone who's qualified to work in Germany. So any residents living here, German citizens, EU citizens, or residents with work permits can find these.
What kind of jobs or industries commonly offer seasonal work during the summer in Germany?
Beside agricultural work, what I tend to think of for summer jobs, at least personally, are like outdoor sports and tourism things. For example, I actually moonlight as a stand-up paddleboard rental person in Berlin on occasion.
Oh, really? Where do you do that?
Yeah, actually, on the Spree, there's a rental place near Funkhaus that my friend has been working at for a number of years. And last year, I joined him there as kind of my side gig. And this year, I'm planning to be there on occasional Sundays. So anyone who wants to try stand-up paddleboarding in Berlin, there are a number of spots to do this.
You can check in with a friendly face.
Yeah, exactly.
So Paul Kranz is there.
You're the guide. Are you going out with them? Are you?
I do on occasion, yeah. I'm more of a rental person, honestly. I'm like working the desk, giving people the boards. But I've been known to take people on a Sup Friday tour. That's like a sunset tour on a Friday evening. Can Ooh. Be quite nice.
Lovely.
Yeah, perfect. Right before Berghain.
Totally. This is a good summer tip from us here at The Local. Other sporty jobs you could potentially look into would be maybe at a scuba shop. Believe it or not, scuba does happen in Germany. Surfing too, up on the coast, or there's a couple river spots. There's one in Munich that's quite famous, another in Nuremberg that I know about. Or also maybe at a climbing gym or leading like bike or hiking tours in a touristy outdoor region. All these things are happening. Other good summer job opportunities for English speakers could be working like a intensive language learning summer camp. There's a number of English immersion camps in Germany, like those offered by the Language Farm or Focus Camps. And they are always looking for a number of native English speakers to work during the season around this time. And finally, there is, of course, a boom in demand for like hospitality and tourism work in the urban centers. Besides like cafes and restaurants or hotels and bars that might need some extra hands on the sunny days, there's also interesting jobs you could look out for, like working an outdoor kino or an outdoor cinema, mm-hmm. or even like part-time gigs at summer festivals and events.
Sounds really nice. Do either of you guys have any experience or tips for someone looking for some kind of summer work?
Yeah, I actually also worked for an English camp in my first year here, and I found that job on Craigslist, which is unusual. I wouldn't actually recommend looking through Craigslist for jobs in Germany generally. Probably LinkedIn is a better bet, or you could try a German site like Xing, for example. But also, yeah, I mean, just do a little research online. Also, just keep your eyes open, I would say. If you're walking around the city, you never know what you might find. Ask around, ask your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to teach English when I first lived in Berlin. And one of my colleagues, she went on a boat trip with children, German children who were learning English. And they sailed around and she was teaching English to them. And she really enjoyed it because she loved sailing and it was kind of combining getting paid with doing a kind of outdoor activity.
Yeah, that sounds pretty similar to what I was doing. I was on a canoe tour. I was like camping down a river for 5 days with a number of other teachers and a group of kids. And yeah, it was really fun. It was probably the most fun week-long job I've ever worked. It was like from Erfurt, more or less, near there to like Halle. It was the Halle River, actually, or the Saale. The Halle-Saale River.
Halle under Saale. Another one of my friends, she worked a full-time job, but she got a bar job on a Saturday, basically to help her meet people and to improve her German skills. Obviously, that doesn't just have to be in the summer. That can be any time. But I think like for some people, doing a little bit of extra work where you're meeting people or you're doing something different, it can actually be quite nice.
Yeah, totally. And for just language exposure as well, right? Like my German is not that good still, but some of the better kind of exposure I had early on was like working at the paddle shop, for example, just because customers would come up to me and just ask mm-hmm. me a bunch of things in German, and I would just do my best to respond, you know? So
yeah,
it helps for those of us in like a really English-speaking bubble or something. A side job can help you break out of that a bit.
Yeah, get out of that bubble. Of course, though, you would have to check the tax side of it, right, Aaron?
Yes, you would. It does depend on how much extra you're making. If you're making 538 euros or less per month, you are fine.
That's the magic number.
Yeah, that is the magic number, yes. If you're above that, then you start getting into different issues of tax class. You don't normally have to advise your health insurance about that because you're covered through your main gig, but you will have to file a tax return and advise the tax office that that's what you're doing. And when that happens, there's a tax class specifically for that. It's called Tax Class 6. Your main gig sits in your regular tax class like normal, and then just your side income is reported as part of Tax Class 6 in your tax return, and you're good to go. So you can do a side gig, just be aware of some of the rules that are around it.
Do you have to manually change that tax class, or does it happen automatically?
You shouldn't have to in most cases. There's a separate item on your tax return where you would then indicate tax class 6, and it's just your side gig income that would go in there. The rest, your regular gig would stay exactly the same in tax like it normally would be.
Got it. Thank you both so much for that. Okay, let's move on. So this month, because of Eurovision and plenty of public holidays in Germany, is pretty good, we gotta say. But next month will also be awesome because we have another European competition coming up, and that is the Euro 2024 Championship.
It's just great to be a Euro right now. All the Euros. We have all the Euros.
We got them all coming.
Yeah.
So this is football. Let's talk a bit about how Germany is gearing up for it. We have mentioned this previously, but Scotland is kicking the whole thing off on June the 14th in a match against Germany's national team in Munich. So that is very exciting for me because I'm Scottish. Aaron, what are some of the key facts and figures we should know, and where is it all taking place?
So Scotland versus Germany, you say. Well, go Germany, Rachel Oxen. I know. We're on opposite sides
oh,
here.
No.
So Euro 2024 in Germany is going to be huge. This goes on for a full month from June 14th to July 14th in 10 German cities. Yes, 10. Berlin, Cologne, Munich, Frankfurt, Leipzig, Gelsenkirchen, Stuttgart, Düsseldorf, Hamburg, and Dortmund. There will be 51 games featuring 24 national teams. I know Scotland and Germany just being two of them, of course.
Scotland being the main one.
Yeah, for you, obviously. There are 16,000 volunteers involved and 2.7 million fans.
That's a lot of fans.
Guys. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of fans. And many of them will be from abroad going to at least one of the games. So, I mean, the scale of this is absolutely enormous.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty worried about Scottish fans coming over. Just like, I'm just hoping they all behave themselves. And I'm sure they will, but I could just imagine one
They're
or two.
Nice. We love the Scots. They're
one or
nice.
Two might go to get a bit too excited.
Okay.
They're going to ruin it for the rest of you. Yeah.
Well,
we hope not.
we do have to say that a very funny thing that we saw recently was a travel warning from the UK government.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, warning, people who might be traveling to Germany for the Euros, special warning bulletin there just for the Euros. And one of the items in there was the fact that German beer tends to be a little bit stronger, could be the thing that does it.
How will this affect everyday life in Germany then? For example, transport and hotels and just the general atmosphere.
Well, as we've said, 2.7 million fans, a lot of them will come from abroad. And all of those fans are going to mean higher hotel prices, fewer vacancies, perhaps busier airports and trains and buses. So just keep that in mind as you're going out and about, even if you are not, in fact, here for the Euros, or even if you're like us and you live here. Just be aware that around match days, there could be a lot of extra volume, particularly in the 36 hours around match days. And that's because Anyone who has a ticket to a Euro 2024 match in Germany gets a 36-hour validity to a public transport ticket for the city in question where the match is being held. So
great deal.
Yeah. I mean, you could see a lot of extra volume for those of us who live here. Another important thing to mention, though, alongside all of that, are border controls. They are going to be heightened during the tournament, including at land crossings. So if you're taking a trip across the border to one of Germany's neighbors, perhaps a drive to Poland or a jaunt to the Netherlands, or you want to have a nice little hike in Austria or something like that, make sure you have your documents with you, like your passport, your residence permit, those sorts of things, even if you leave them at home normally when you do these kinds of quick jaunts over the border by train or car.
Really good to know. Thanks for that, Aaron. Right, guys, to finish off today, we're switching back to the present moment.
Ooh.
And thinking about some fun events around Germany this month. So this is something we like to write about and talk about often because Germany is a great country and we want to feel inspired to get out there. So, Paul, what event has caught your eye?
I've got a couple events specifically in Berlin that I'm looking forward to this month. So the main one for me would be the Carnival der Kulturen in Kreuzberg.
Solid choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, especially the Sunday. So the carnival is like a 3 or 4 day event spanning the whole weekend. And it's a holiday weekend with the Wheat Monday. But I'll be out on Sunday, I think, on the streets, because this is when the parade goes down. And then after the parade, just kind of endless festivities, we could say, on the streets of Kreuzberg.
Lots of good street food.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
and some dangerous cocktails.
And other things. Yeah, I'll be looking out for the Spargel cocktail to invite you to, Aaron.
Yeah, yeah. If you find that, you can let me know. Then we'll make the one Spargel exception, as I've mentioned.
But for me, this is really one of my favorite things about living in Berlin is like these kind of endless street parties through the summer. I have some friends who I really enjoy just getting out on the streets with. I love that you can drink beer freely in public. This is strictly verboten where I come from.
North America.
In the land of
now.
The free. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I'll be enjoying that. And then another event that I'm actually weirdly looking forward to is the Chili Fest, the Berliner Berg Brewery on May 25th. I went to this last year, and honestly, I'm not going to tell you it's the most exciting festival. It's exactly what you would expect from a chili fest. But last year I bought a little starter plant. It was a habanero plant, and I grew it on my balcony. And by September, I had like a dozen habaneros to spice up my dinners with. So I want to do that again. So I'll be going back to the chili fest to buy a baby chili plant.
Buy some chilies.
Nice. Did you eat them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's
I loved
so
it.
Cool.
They were really spicy. I was quite impressed with the plant.
Excellent.
With the chilies.
Uh-huh. Well, being the wino that I am, that we all know that I am, you know, Spargel cocktail accepted, of course, I'm definitely picking the Würzburger Weindorf, and that runs from May 29th to June 6th, and it is a big wine festival in Würzburg, in Bavaria. But I can also recommend that you check out the villages of Rheinland-Pfalz. Starting from about now until September, there are so many small villages there, and they each have their own wine festival. And each of these small villages with its own wine festival will pick a different weekend. And residents of different villages there both put on their own, and then they travel to all of the others. So there's like a wine festival circuit.
Amazing.
You know, yeah, one weekend it's in this village, and then in the next weekend there's a fest in the one over, and people just kind of travel around on their weekends there. And my friends and I went to one last year in a small town called Wot. And we were expecting a few small huts, and instead we were greeted with scenes of lively Schlager music, which everyone loves, of course. But there were hundreds or possibly even 1,000 people there who were just milling about the town's old streets, and they were dancing and they were sampling different wine and food stands. It was a happening place. If you know a Rheinland-Pfalz local, you need to ask them when the next one is and which village has their turn on that particular weekend in question. I can promise it's a good one.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, this sounds really awesome. So I don't think I'll make this, sadly, but for all our listeners up in Hamburg or the northern regions, there is the Hafengeburtstagsfest running until May the 12th. That is Sunday. So this is the port's anniversary, and apparently it's the 835th birthday.
Ooh.
So, you know, it's been going a while. So the festivities are all taking place by Hamburg's waterfront. There's a concert on Friday night featuring performances from like Disney shows, The Lion King and Frozen. And also the
Let
band.
It go.
Exactly. Yeah. The band Scooter. You know them? They're like this kind of rave music or something. They're going to be there. And apparently I found out the band was founded in Hamburg.
Well, there you go.
Are you a Scooter fan?
No.
But you know they're their thing.
I read up on them because Scooter, I remember, I try and say that properly, Scooter. I remember from when I was growing up, they were around, there was that kind of like happy hardcore music or something.
Oh, okay.
And I had no idea that they were German. And turns out they actually started in Hamburg.
Wild.
So, yeah. And there's also going to be fireworks. And the concert is showing on regional TV 2 if you can't make it. But sounds fun. Okay, that's it for this week. Thank you so much to all of our listeners. As always, we will add the links in the show notes for the stories we've been talking about. And it would mean a lot to us if you hit follow, left a rating or a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We love reading your comments. It means a lot to us. This week's panelists have been Paul Krantz and Aaron Burnett, and our sound engineer is Reese Edwards. I'm Rachel Oxen. We hope you enjoyed listening and we'll be back again next week. Until then, take care.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.